Welcome to the Littlestown Chapel Podcast. When you get an opportunity, check us out on the web at littlestownchapel.org. Now, we hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Joshua Stratton.
Okay, here we go, guys. In background, do me a favor, just play some ball.
This is my favorite scene in the film. Okay,
actually, the core of this character's relationship.
Yeah, like the coach becoming like a father figure here.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm gonna stay out of your way. Let the geniuses do their thing.
Hey, okay. Robbie.
Here we go, guys. In background, do me a favor, just play some ball, pass it.
You know, everything was right, okay. We missed your try.
Ready, background action.
That's some stuff.
And
look, Robbie, action. What's up? You gonna have scouts lined up to give you a full ride to this movie.
What happened? What was it?
What are you, my dad now?
He started it.
Sorry, guys, stay in the zone. Hey, basketball players,
what's up?
So, right now, you're just sort of passing back and forth. Looks a little bit weird. Just play basketball, you know what I mean? Just dribble, pass, run some plays.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, guys. I'm taking it from the top and in action.
Coach Stan.
How's it going?
What are you doing here?
See if everything was okay. We missed your tryout.
Movement class at Juilliard.
I was in a stage production of Basketball Diaries.
Ah, forget it. Never mind. It's all
Thank
good.
You, sir. Thank you.
And run and action.
How are you doing?
Slam it. How's it up?
So much.
Can guys stop bugging, please?
So, I'll show you this video, one, because we need to have some fun. We just need to have some fun, you know? But these guys, they just don't belong, you know? They want so bad to be in this film, but they really don't know where they fit in, you know? They don't have what they were looking for. They don't belong. And I don't know, have you ever felt that way before? That you don't belong? I think one of the times that I felt this the most was when my wife and I first started dating early on. This is back in the late 1940s. And my sister, I was going to go visit my sister. I was going to go from college to visit my sister in Bethlehem, and she lived just down the road from my wife's family. And so my wife was like, hey, well, while you're there, why don't you come to church with me on a Sunday morning? And I'm like, okay, you know. And my wife goes, she's from the Portuguese culture. Her parents are, you know, fresh off the boat. And the church was a Portuguese / Brazilian church. And they're a little bit more fancy, I think. And so my wife's like, you got to make sure you dress up for it, you know. And so I pack my only pair of dress pants, and they were my only pair, so I didn't even bother to try them on. I just, you know, shoved them in, and I should have probably tried them on, because Sunday rolls around, I go to put my pants on, and they don't fit, you know. And they're like, they must have went in the dryer, because they also were short, so I looked like I was ready for Noah. And then my wife, also future wife at the time, says, by the way, you know, these are like way uncool from the early 90s. They're like tapered at the bottom, and they had the pleated stuff on the front. And I, you know, of course, with not fitting, the pleats looked really weird. And so picture this. I'm already feeling uncomfortable because of my pants. And I show up at this church, and I'm 6'5", and everybody else is 4'11". And music is pumping, and I'm telling you, these guys know how to worship, you know. The Brazilian and the Portuguese are crazy. They're jumping around, and they're loud. It's in your face, and it's crazy, you know. And I'm just standing there totally uncomfortable with the Baptist sway. You know what I'm talking about. Don't laugh at me, because I see you do this every morning. And to make matters worse, the whole thing's in Portuguese. I have no idea what's going on. And I'm wearing this headset because I need to hear, you know, they do translation in the headset. And now I'm already feeling horribly uncomfortable, and then they have meet and greet time. And I you know, stick my hand out for the handshake. No, they need kisses. And so I got to bend down for the kisses and everything. It was the most uncomfortable time. I just felt so out of place. I felt like I just didn't belong. You know what I'm talking about. You felt that before. And what's interesting is you don't know where you belong, you don't know how you fit, it messes with you, you know? Your anxiety goes up, your stress level goes up, you say stupid things. You get in maybe to stupid things, and you know it affects you. You know, to take this one level deeper, I really believe that our anxieties, a lot of them, a lot of our struggles, and our families, and a lot of our struggles in the world today, and our own culture, and some of the temperament, you know, the climate right now, I think it's because the church, you know, people who have trusted in Jesus Christ, doesn't know where they belong. I think the church struggles with who they belong to. And friends, when we don't know who we belong to, when we don't realize what we were made for, where we fit, we are lost. We're empty. We don't know how to handle ourselves. And this affects everything in our lives. This affects our decisions. It affects what we pursue. It affects how we interact with our family members and how we deal with conflict in our lives. It affects our anxieties. It affects our jobs and the way, you know, the priorities and the things that we get into. It affects everything. When you know where you belong, when you know who you belong to, it changes everything and puts you on a pathway. It defines your purpose. We're starting a new series called I Belong. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be ripping this idea apart that we belong to God. And when I say we, I mean those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ. God says, when you trust in Him, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you belong to Him. You are His child. And there's a philosophy out there. Some people think that just because they show up to church, they're a Christian, and that's not true. God wants you to trust in Him. Just because you are in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. That's weird. God wants you to trust in Him, and when you trust in Him, you become His child. I've heard people say before, oh, we're all God's children. God made each and every one of us. Yes. God put His image on humanity. There's things about us that represent God on purpose. But sin has ripped us away from Him. We are not His children. When you trust in God, you become His child. And this is huge. This is our identity. And we need to rip this apart. We then belong to God. And that's a beautiful thing. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to rip this apart. We're going to focus on what it means to be a child of God today. And then next week, we're going to talk about our redemption in Christ and what He puts us, or how He forms us and makes us into His child. And then the following week, we're going to be talking about the inheritance that we have in God. And I'm excited about that. Make sure you're here on that week. Then the next week, Pastor Scott will be coming back, and I have no idea what he's talking about. No, he'll be following up and just pulling this message back together, all down, streaming it down, so that we can apply it to our lives. So I want to make sure that I invite you to be here, because I'm excited about this. I think this is, the series ties into our overarching theme for the year, who am I really? Who am I? You know, our identity is so important. And right now, with all the things going on in our lives, This is exactly what we need to be talking about. So open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. In the next 4 weeks, we're actually going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. We're just going to take little bit by little bit, because there's so much that Paul gives us here. Ephesians chapter 1. If you're using one of the Bibles here at church, it's on page 976. And I just want to read down to verse 6. That's what we're going to focus on today, 1 through 6. The greeting, Paul starts his letter off. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heaven, in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Would you pray with me and just ask the Lord to bless the reading of His word this morning? Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for the truth of the gospel. Father, and today as we interact with it, Lord, would You speak to us through Your Holy Spirit? Father, I know that I am inadequate to teach, Lord. Open up all of our hearts, and by Your Spirit, would You show us what we need to get out of this today, Lord God? I pray that none of us leave here unchanged, Lord God. Would You change us for the name of Jesus? And so I give this over to You. Not God's people say, amen, right? God is so good, and He gives us the book of Ephesians. And Paul wrote this letter to a church in a city called Ephesus. And this is a great city. This is an influential city. It's riddled with paganism. It's a powerful city. It's a port city. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And it's almost like a New York City, you know? And in some ways, I think the church there is dealing with similar stresses. They got to go against the grain, similarly that the church today in the United States has to. And Paul spends the first half of the book going over who they belong to, reminding them who loves them. And he spends the whole first half of this letter ripping this apart and making sure they understand this, because they need to know it so they can go against the grain. They need to know it so they can rise above and live out their faith. And then the second half of the letter is, in response to that, this is how you live. And when we read just this small little section here, verses 1 through 6, we get an idea that God has, when he says that we belong to him, it means something very significant. God has set the church apart. And when you trust in Christ, this passage is saying three main things is happening. When you trust in Christ, you are blessed. You are significant. And you are God's child. Now, some of us really need to hear that today. And I'm going in chronological order to the way that it's stated here in the passage. We're going to rip apart line by line after the greeting, starting in verse 3. These are the three things I want you to take from this today. And this means huge amounts of stuff. Our Christian doctrine is built on this platform. We are blessed. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. You are significant. And you are God's child. You are blessed. You are significant. And you are God's child. Read with me here in verse 3. After the greeting, Paul goes in and he's so excited. He says to the people, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he's so excited. He's worshiping God. And he says, "Because who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places?" God wants you to know that you are blessed. God has blessed you. He has spoken goodness into you. He's given you change and new life. God has truly blessed you. And it's not that word there, like every spiritual blessing. That's pretty amazing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, what exactly does that mean? Spiritual, the word spiritual there is actually, I'll get out here Greek on everybody. Pneumatikos. Let's say it together. Pneumatikos. I just wanted to see how bad you were at it. Pneumatikos. And that word is not just opposed to the physical, saying that it's some sort of sense or something like a mental blessing. It's more so talking about the Holy Spirit, because that word is used in every other place, an attachment to the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying here is Paul is saying that God has given us everything heaven has to offer. Everything heaven has to offer, God has given it through the Holy Spirit to you. And this isn't something that we asked for. When you trusted in Christ, when you become a member of the church, when you give your life to him, it's yours. It's not like, you know, Joshua, he goes to take the land for Israel, right? The promised land. He doesn't have to ask for the land. He just takes the land in faith. It's the same thing with you and me. Now, these heavenly blessings, this is like, this is if you were making an outline of the book of Ephesians, you know, you'd put like all the heavenly blessings, all the spiritual blessings, and that would be the title at the top. And then Paul is just sort of going down. And so the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at, okay, these are what all these spiritual blessings are. And today, let me just whet your appetite for you. Spiritual blessings is everything you need for life in Christ. When you trust in Him, He gives you everything you need for life in Christ. When you trust in Him, it means forgiveness. See, spiritual blessings is redemption. The spiritual blessing is supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual blessings is the inheritance of the God of the universe. We're talking about eternal life here. This is crazy good stuff. And it's yours when you've trusted in Christ. And this is huge for us. This is who you are when you put your life in His. So we are blessed. And being blessed, that means we are significant. We are significant. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And so God has given us all these blessings in Christ. And then he goes on, he says, even as he chose us before the foundation of the world. You are so significant that God actually chose you for salvation, chose you to lift you out of darkness before you were even born, before you were a thought in your mother's mind, before you were in the womb. God foresaw these things, and He chose to work His plan of redemption for you. You are so significant. There is no mistake that you are sitting in these seats today. This is huge news for each and every one of us. Now, this might be confusing a little bit, because a lot of times we talk from the pulpit here, we say that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, the reality of love is that God wants to love us. God wants a loving relationship with us. And so there's a human point, you know, a facet of salvation that has a human element to it. And the Bible calls that faith. God wants you to have faith in Him. And that provides attention to the idea that in salvation, that God actually elects you, that God chooses you. And there is this tension in the Scripture. I can't debate it. They don't necessarily fit together. It's a bit of a mystery. And some people disregard free will and chase after election. Some people chase after election and you know, the other way around. Some people disregard election and chase after free will. But they both are in the Scriptures, and you cannot reject them. And so I want to tell you that there's going to be this tension as you read the Word with some things. And the mysteries, we trust God and celebrate what's in His Word. Some things will make sense in the end. But both of these ideas are in them, and I want to encourage you, I want to preach both, because I want you to love and adore and chase after God in your faith. But I also want you to see that God loves you so much, and even though your sin was so bad, we weren't capable of choosing Him. One of my good friends growing up, grew up even in this church, not walking with the Lord today. Similar family situations, similar stuff, with similar Bible interaction and all those things, and he's not today. And I remember one time just grieving over it, and I think, like, why is he not coming? And I still believe that he will. Am I better than him? Am I smarter than him? Was I smart enough to choose God? No. God's been working in my life for years. And you know the same thing. You can see it. If you look back, all these different things. God rescued you from this. He kept you. Yeah, there was hard times here, but God was with you there. And He put this person in your life and this person in your life. You know what? It is not a mistake that you're sitting in these seats today. Because you're significant, you're so significant to God that even before you were born, He orchestrated that you would come to Him and trust in Him. He loves you that much. God wants you. Isn't that something? There's no mistake to your days. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, there's great purpose in your life. And why does He do this? Look at the second half of that verse. He does this so that you would be holy and blameless. He does this for you so that you would be without defect, that He would cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that He would work in you a new person, that you would be set apart, that's what holy means, that you would be set apart for God, blameless. God's got big plans for you. Some of you need to hear this today because you've been struggling. You know that you've had mistakes in your life. You have these tensions in relationships. You know that you're struggling with anger, maybe even doubt. Maybe you're struggling with addictions, or you're struggling. I don't know. We all are struggling with different things, you know. Our hearts are sick at times, you know. And yes, we're trusting in Christ, but no, we haven't like totally arrived yet. We know that we're a work in progress. And the promise that Paul gives us in Philippians, he says, "He who began a good work in you, He promises He will bring it to completion." God has chosen you out of darkness because He wants to make you holy and blameless. And I have to be honest sometimes, that's painful. That's hard, right? And honestly, if it's not hard, you're probably not trusting Him. You know? Sometimes I think that being a Christian, it just means life is going to get easier. And it isn't. It isn't easier. But there's so much hope in it. There's so much joy in it. There's so much support in it. Man, there's so much support. I love you guys. I love you. And so in Jesus, all these things are coming into place through Christ. God chose us. God pulls us out. And Paul wants us to know, look how he says here, like in verse 3, it says in Christ, right? And then in verse 4, it says in Him. And then again, it says in Him, in the Beloved, you know? It's like four different times. Later in the passage, he says it even more, just over and over again. In Him. All this happens, not on our own, but through Jesus Christ. Our own salvation, everything about us in our new state as the church is because of Jesus. Which is great. Which is really great. Which we'll talk about later in the next couple of weeks. Because that means we can't really screw it up. Because it really hasn't been about us. You are that significant. You are blessed. You are significant. And you are His child. You are God's child. He says, look at this, the end of verse 4, in love. And I have no idea why in love is in verse 4 and not in verse 5. If I could go back 1,000 years and whoever wrote all these little verses down, I would yell at him. But in love, it says, in love He predestined us. In love, and this is really key. He's Ephesians here, like I said, this is like a letter that's almost directly written to you and me, okay? And Paul says in love a bunch of times. In fact, the verb to love there, agapao, is used, let me mess this up, I wrote it down. It's used 9 different times in the book of Ephesians. And in all the other writings of Paul, okay, all of them, which is like a majority of the New Testament, He only uses the verb 23 times. So in the culture, and to this church struggling, trying to go against the grain, he needs them to understand that the very nature of God and everything that's happening to them is because he is love. He loves them. And this is huge. It says he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. You hear what I'm saying here? God doesn't just want you. God doesn't just predestine you. He doesn't just think you're significant. He doesn't just want to associate with you. God doesn't want to just be your acquaintance. He wants you to call him Daddy. He wants you to know him like you would know a close father. He wants to shower down his grace upon you like a father showers down his grace to a son. He says that we're, in Romans chapter 8, says we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you understand what that means? That means everything that Christ has inherited is yours too. God adopts you into his family. He wants a relationship with you. And this is how all the blessings and all the significance and all the change and the holiness and the process of being made right before God, the sanctification, okay, is the fancy Christian word. All these things comes through adoption. It comes through adoption. Adoption is so important. And anyone who trusts in Christ becomes a child of God. He uses the word son there because in those days the sons were the ones that inherited all these things. Now, many of you know that in my family right now, adoption is an important discussion. And we are adopting a beautiful teenager. I asked her if I could say this, so don't worry. She is ducking. Don't pay attention to her. And Bree is becoming a part, hopefully officially in November. You could be praying about this. But Bree is becoming a member of our family. And this is becoming her identity. And through adoption, she's developing a new identity. And pray for her, because a lot of things are changing, right? Her responsibilities have changed. The way she has to interact with people is changing. Her school has changed. Her commitments have changed. Her family has changed. She has to learn how to interact with us and learn what we say and what we do and what we think. And she's adjusting. All these things. Adoption is the way that God is. You see what I'm saying? Adoption, God's doing the same thing with us. He's changing us and molding us into this likeness of his son so that we too would be the sons of God. And it's more than even that. Because when God adopts you, he gives you a new purpose. He gives you a new direction. He gives you a new meaning for your life. Look what it says in verse 6. All this to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved, in Jesus Christ. And you know, adoption in the Roman times, it really wasn't like you adopt a kid because they need a home. Adoption oftentimes was, and they had some of that, but a lot of times because of the nature of the family and how big families were, the kids would just end up going to another family member's house when the need would arise. But legally, most of the time, adoption was actually specifically for the family, for the name of the family and the wealth of the family to spread out and continue. And so oftentimes, adults would be adopted, and they become a member of a new family, and legally they take on a complete new identity. And there'd be a huge change going on. And that person would then carry the name on. And the wealth and the family business and everything. And in the same way, what Paul's trying to say to us is that God has adopted us. And has said, I want you to carry my name into the world. You're putting me on. You're becoming mine. I'm not a Stratton. I'm a child of God. I'm not an American. I'm a child of God. I want to show you this picture. This picture was taken, I got it off of Bree's Facebook page. This picture was taken at the Uprise concert. And it's Toby Mac. Any of you Toby Mac fans? You know, I have a buddy. He named his kid Toby and his other kid Michael and his other kid Kevin. Is it anybody DC Talk fans? No, I'm too old. That's a little obsessive, wouldn't you say? Anyway, Toby Mac is part of another band from years ago, 20 years ago to be exact. But anyway, in the middle of the concert, he's singing about God, he's singing about the kingdom, he's singing about his life, and he comes out with this, and I started tearing up because it was just awesome. And he comes out with this banner, this giant banner, with the cross on it, and he just starts waving it, and there's thousands of people in the audience, and people are singing and clapping and cheering and everything, and I'm just thinking, this is so awesome, because this is it, you know? This is who I am. It's who I want to be. God's adopted you. He's given you his name. He said, be my banner. Wave the flag. We've lost our way many a times, all the stuff that we're struggling with. A lot of it's because we've lost the banner. We put it down. We're not being who we were called to be. We've got focused on the world. You don't want to live for this world. This world ends. This world is sick. This world is dying. Watch the news for 5 minutes. I've been struggling with stress in my life and that kind of stuff. And I've cut the news out. The other day I thought, oh, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm going to turn it. I used to be a news junkie. I turned the news on for 5 minutes. Oh, I can't take it. Turned it back off again. Man, this world is broken. I'm not living for this world. I'm living for this one. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I'm carrying his banner. I've been adopted. I've been called out. I've been blessed. I am significant. I am his child. And if you start living for something else, you will be empty. You'll be depressed. You'll be sick about it because that's not who you are. When you don't know who you belong to, you do all kinds of stupid things and you become empty inside. Friends, we were made for Jesus Christ. This is who we are. You cannot run from it anymore. Stop making decisions that don't wave the banner. Stop going to school and saying the things in your hallways that don't wave the banner. Stop getting into activities that you didn't even consult the banner. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to be the representation of Jesus. That's why he's pulled you out. That's how he is growing you. That's your purpose. Because you belong to God. And don't fool yourself. You won't belong anywhere else. You'll be sadly disappointed. I remember letting my guard down and bringing in all this new culture with my wife. And the family, and enjoying it, and even enjoying the weird deep-fried things that supposedly is catfish or something. I belong to Amy. That's my family. Anyway, that's the beauty of the church, right? We belong to each other. We're all really different. Some of you look at me and you think, really different. And we are. And somehow God brings us all together under one banner in Him, in Jesus Christ, to support each other, to carry the banner together. Grab onto the pole with me and carry this flag with me. It's who we were created to be. When you know who you are, everything else falls into place. Some of you are sitting here today and you think, I don't know this. It's time to get this right. God, if you think back, God's been knocking on your door for a long time. I believe He's chosen you. I believe He's calling you. The scriptures tell us that God loves the world so much He gives His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would have eternal life. It's time to put your faith in Him and start walking towards Him. It's time to experience some of the blessings that I've talked to you about today. And if you have any questions about all this maybe confusing things that I've talked about, do not leave without talking to me. If you want to put your trust in Christ today, I need you to come talk to me or talk to somebody that you came with. In church, I have some encouraging words for you. John Piper said at the end of a message actually on a similar topic, there are no unimportant days. You don't have to go to bed at night feeling that your life is going nowhere. The fact that you are a child of God means that you don't ever have to give in to the lie that you are not connected to an awesome purpose. God has chosen you, my friends, before the foundation of the world, and in Christ we become His own sons and daughters for His good pleasure to carry the banner. Never become weary in doing good. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank You so much for Your word today, that You would even think of calling us Your sons and daughters. Lord, I praise You for the joy it is to be Yours. Help us to carry Your banner. Lord, some of us have some serious changes that we need to make because we haven't been chasing after You. We've kind of lost our identity. Lord God, would You bless us? Lord, would You help us? And by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, would You change us? And Father, I pray for those of us here that haven't trusted in You yet, and I ask that You would, Lord, show Your grace to them. Lord, help them to come out of their comfort zone and see that everyone here loves them. And Father, we pray this passage means a lot. If we really applied it, it would help us with our anxiety. It would help us with our sleepless nights. Lord, it would, and I say this for myself too, it would help us with our direction and our purpose. Lord, may we rehearse this in our minds today, that we are Your children, that we are significant, and that we are blessed.
We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.